The views and opinions expressed on this show belong solely to the hosts and their guests and do not reflect the views of any on-site institutions unless explicitly stated.
What's up, everybody? My name is Steve Vandewall.
And I'm Justin Klosser.
And we're your hosts of Cannabis Cum Laude, a podcast devoted entirely to cannabis. We're going to talk cultivation, business, medicine, politics, culture, advocacy, and everything in between.
The cannabis industry is complicated. It's robust. It has a lot of moving parts. And it's our job to help you understand it just a little bit better. So tune in every week for a brand new episode. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on the show, send it on over to questions@cannabiscumlaude.com. Thanks. Enjoy the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. Today, we have a guest who is especially close to my heart. She's a mentor, former advisor of mine, and I would go so far as to say a friend. She's the Horticultural Program Coordinator and Greenhouse Manager at FLCC. And she also serves as a professor for an abundance of classes wherever needed. Our guest today is Bernadine Tikhonchuk. Berna has made a 20-year career out of horticulture and is a certified pesticide applicator for the DEC, as well as a certified arborist for the International Society of Arboriculture. Berna is also the advisor to the Horticulture Club, which I was fortunate enough to serve as president. She is truly one of my favorite people I've ever met and was instrumental in both my success in school and the establishment of the cannabis program at FLCC. Berna, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you, Justin. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you as well. It's been far too long. I'm hoping that we can have a reunion again sometime here soon.
Yeah, it'd be great.
So I kind of want to break down for our listeners, if you could just kind of give us an overview of how you established an interest or how you began into the horticultural realm.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. You know, you said a 20-year career. I wish it was only 20 years. It's actually been a bit longer than that. I've been at FLCC for about 19 years, you know, and it's interesting because I came to this school for their horticulture program, and that program was only, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old. So it was started in 1974. I started out in horticulture coming from a Christmas tree farm. My parents had a Christmas tree farm in Owego, New York, and you know, I was one of those high school kids that was like, oh yeah, what am I going to do when I graduate type of thing, you know? So my guidance counselor hooked me up with CCFL, Community College of the Finger Lakes, and that's kind of where it all started. I came here, you know, I came here as an 18-year-old kid. I left here as a 19-year-old kid, didn't think I was still a kid, and that's really where I began as far as in the discipline of horticulture. My passion really came when I started in historic horticulture, which I did for 20 years before coming into academia. So by historic horticulture, I mean telling people's stories through horticulture. So for example, Sonnenberg Gardens here in Canandaigua, New York, I worked for a number of years as assistant horticulturist, and then George Eastman House up in Rochester, I worked for a number of years as a groundskeeper there, and got a really good breadth of experience. And then I feel like I learned, got twofold the amount when I came here to FLCC and started working, because when you're working in academia, you really have to, in my opinion, you really have to stay up on what's going on in the world, and in this case, in the world of horticulture. So I finally can feel like I can call myself a horticulturist, you know, and I really look forward to the day when I can just garden like all the time, right? And just grow a variety of plants right in my backyard. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's kind of where it all started. I hope that I answered your question with that long-winded response.
Oh, no, that was beautiful. I do want to apologize, though, for the 20-year thing. I definitely pulled that from the FLCC website. So I think that probably was in conjunction with your career there, I guess. So I apologize for shortchanging you there.
Yeah, so
I am not a horticulturist. I'm kind of an intro level gardener. One of my hobbies during COVID to keep myself sane was to start organic gardening. So I built a bunch of gardening beds, doing tomatoes now. I've been learning cannabis cultivation. A lot of my advice and knowledge that I've got is from Justin, and he has continued over the, you know, the last couple of months to tell me, you know, how much he's appreciated, you know, the education he's got at FLCC, and especially a lot of the, you know, the education he's got from you. He said, you know, he has a way of saying, you know, you've always had this really cool way of fielding questions, and you know, even when things kind of crossed legal boundaries. Obviously, a big thing in academia is some of these colleges, especially some of the state universities and federally funded universities, aren't even really allowed to talk about cannabis, right? You can't even say the word. It's all hemp this, hemp that, and it's been really cool to see FLCC take a deep dive into cannabis. Coming from a bit of an activist background, one of the things that we always push was we need more education, we need more education, we need more education, but a lot of the schools haven't even been able to touch it. So I guess in your 20-year you know, academic experience, how have you seen cannabis education evolve over these years?
It's gone from taboo to not taboo anymore, right? So just releasing those chains is huge, really, because then we can actually say the word. It's amazing. I mean, starting when I started in academia, and I don't know, Justin, I kind of took that as a compliment, actually, the 20-year thing. So anyway, starting in academia, when cannabis was all marijuana and it was all taboo and it was all, you know, something bad, to now, just in the past, I would say maybe 6 or 7 years, if that long, CBD coming about as a medicinal, as a product that people can use, especially to relieve pain. That really was an impetus for, I think anyway, the evolution, especially in academia as well, academia in this community college anyway. I think community colleges are in a unique position to serve the community. And so the community at large is embracing cannabis and calling it CBD, let's say. And so that community at large is also placing more of a demand on academia to get good information out there. You know, I mean, I think that so many people started with the idea that there were two forms of cannabis, right? And we know that there are many, many, many hundreds of other different forms and formulations of cannabis. And so that kind of information is what students of cannabis are really hungry for. So to answer your question, Steve, in regards to the evolution or what's going on with academia and cannabis, I would say that 6 or 7 years is really when it started. And then obviously most recently, just the past 3 years, is when things are really getting rolling. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, just because I've been sitting here brainstorming on, when you said that the horticultural program started in 1974, am I remembering that correctly? And then you went into the program as a youngster, 3 or 4 years after it started. So that would be still in the 70s. Was there, like, when we think about the 70s, we think about hippie love and all this type of the love in 70s, right? Was there at that time, had there been like cannabis as a thing? Was it still taboo, or did it like go from being accepted to then taboo to now we're accepted again? You following my train of thought?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Justin. You know, I think that in thinking back on it, and I'm trying not to like reveal too much information or anything, but I know that, you know, it's like one of the professor's wives even grew marijuana, kind of thing, right? Yep. And so, and she was not going to not do it. So yes, taboo. Yes, there's a legal problem there. You know, obviously she didn't want to get like arrested for it, et cetera, et cetera. But bless her heart. And she went and she did it anyway. So we're talking that was 1977, 1978 kind of thing. And it was, gosh, I should know my history better as far as politics, but it really was that Reagan era that just blew it out of the water with there's absolutely no tolerance for any drugs. And, you know, there's this war on drugs going on, and that included marijuana, and that included people losing, you know, potentially losing their house or their property for growing cannabis, you know? So back then, yes, it was just as taboo as it was 10 years ago. But there was certainly an underground and other people that were growing it, and they weren't getting in as much trouble yet, let's say, you know?
Absolutely. I was a little bit foggy on my history as well. So I just went to the Google machine real quick, and Reagan came in 1981. Okay. Just for the viewers, everybody. So that's when it became demonized, really, at the end of the day, where, like, yeah, it was illegal and taboo, but people were kind of okay with it, right? It was like, if you're not hurting anybody, you're probably not going to get in trouble. If you're not trying to sell pounds and pounds and run a drug ring, you might not necessarily get in trouble. And so then in 81 is really where it started kind of getting crazy, if I'm gathering correctly, when Reagan came into office.
It's crazy to think, you know, even, you know, the 70s and 80s were not that far away, to think, you know, people have been imprisoned probably since the 70s and 80s for low quantities of cannabis and very benign amounts of cultivated cannabis. And now, you know, state after state after state, even red states, are legalizing, because they're just, you know, you talk the economics, the agriculture, the, you know, medicinal side of things. It's becoming, you know, it's pop culture now. Syracuse University, you know, FLCC was one of the first universities in New York State to hop on the cannabis train. I think it was FLCC, Morrisville was up there. Cornell got a good start with hemp. Syracuse now has a cannabis minor or a cannabis certificate. One of the things that, you know, I've always wondered is, and I know, you know, I did my my schooling at the University of Rochester. I did my MBA there. And I'm wondering, why aren't these universities hopping on board? These are not, you know, most of these people in academia understand that cannabis has been stigmatized for all the wrong reasons. And it's a no-brainer that we should be offering academic programs. But the issue comes with a lot of these schools is, if you have a cannabis program, or if you, you know, there's a risk of losing that federal funding. How does FLCC, or how did FLCC go about navigating that issue?
I believe because we're a track within another program.
Okay.
Right? So it's not a cannabis degree per se, but it's a cannabis track, a three-class cannabis track within the horticulture program. Mm-hmm. So that may be one of the ways. And really, Morrisville kind of did the same thing, right? Morrisville certainly was ahead of us by maybe 2 years.
I think it was actually only one.
Was it just 1 year?
I think so, yeah.
Two semesters. And they kind of did it the same way, in the sense that, yes, they have a minor in cannabis industry. And then you look at that, and it's really interesting because it's a minor in their plant science or horticulture business program, and it's three classes basically. So they called it a minor. But back to FLCC, really, to answer your question, Steve, it was having a track within a horticulture program skewed it a little bit, maybe made it more acceptable kind of thing, you know. And then you look at, you mentioned Syracuse, and they have, it's a non-credit certificate program that they have, and they do it in like blocks, like there's like 3 8-week blocks where you go for the certificate, and a lot of it is online instruction, which is also very, very smart on Syracuse University's part to do it online. For the student, it might be taking a little bit of a gamble, because I don't know if we really know what the industry pressure for employment is yet. We're getting to know more and more, you know, and people, at least one person on our advisory board is, you know, definitely saying we need people, we need boots on the ground, we need cultivators, we need processors, et cetera, which is true. But, and do those people really have to have a college education for it? Or are these certificates really the way to go, you know? And so that being said, I would guess that, I would think, and as our discussions around FLCC go, we're talking more and more about a certificate.
Yeah, I, in my opinion, that would be, that should be more than enough. As somebody who kind of went through the program itself, there, it was absolutely wonderful, and I learned a lot of great things. I don't want to, before I get into this, I don't want to sound like I'm discrediting that at all. But as somebody who went in with the 100% intention, I'm going for cannabis, that's what I want to do. Granted, I ended up going to a different school afterwards, and therefore was able to then transfer my degree, so it was helpful. But initially, I probably would have went and said, hey, I want to get this cannabis track. I want to do everything I can towards cannabis, and I probably would have been okay myself personally not learning about tree names. You know what I mean? But it was still a wonderful experience to have. I am actually grateful. I teach my son and my fiance all the time about, oh, that's a, man, wow, what a poor time to blank out. I was going to say that's a Acer saccharinum, or what, you know what I mean? The sugar maple.
I was going to say, I think it's really cool too. You know, we are starting to kind of see this rebirth or this renaissance of trades and technical jobs again. You know, more people are going for electrician studies, and more people are going for plumbing and HVAC, all which are all very viable and needed in the cannabis industry. I would love to see kind of programs like BOCES start to teach cannabis-based trade programs, things like canopy management and, you know, HVAC and lighting and trimming and all these technical degrees that you may not have to go get a four-year degree and spend $100,000 and $150,000, where you could go for a one-year immersive and really learn and get some hands-on training. I think we're getting there, especially with state legalization, and probably inevitably federal legalization. But one question that I always thought was interesting, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm a cannabis guy, I always assume that when you introduce a cannabis program, my guess is you're going to see an increase in interest and therefore enrollment. To what extent, if any, has enrollment changed at FLCC since implementing the cannabis track?
Right. So as far as the horticulture program goes, right? So we're just talking the horticulture program as opposed to FLCC at large, of course.
Yep.
As far as our enrollment numbers go, last year we had 32 new horticulture program students, and also we had 21 horticulture cannabis track students come in.
Wow.
So that's huge.
Almost double.
And, you know, yes, exactly. And so 32 doesn't sound like much, and I don't know how many people, you know, obviously there's only one Justin Closser in the world, but I don't know how many people would have come to our horticulture program really wanting to study cannabis cultivation, even though we didn't, you know, if we never started the track kind of thing. So that 32 may have been 42, you know, but I think that, you know, just of people studying horticulture to get to cannabis in the long run. But I think that those numbers speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so one thing that happens as far as academia goes is we shouldn't just look at how many people are enrolled or how many people are enrolled in a certain year, but how many people have graduated from the program.
Yep, retention.
Which is another reason to go toward a certificate because, yeah, you're right. Some of these people, they get into Sean Canale's plant materials class and they're like, oh my gosh, how I have to know all this stuff. I have to know how to identify a plant, right? They get into Rob Wink's plant structure and function class and they also may be freaking.
That's a fun one.
You know, because it's, we're teaching people how plants grow and then how to identify plants, right? So it's a horticulture program with a cannabis track. And so, and I always want to, you know, let people, let new students know that or prospective students know that so that they don't get into our program and then they don't end up finishing.
Right.
We don't retain them when really our goal should be graduating them, yeah, basically, you know, having them go through the whole program. So you mentioned, like, especially as far as New York State goes, and remember Cuomo wanted to do this whole incubator, right? He wanted, it wasn't just cannabis and it wasn't just legalization. As far as medicinal went, back when we talked medicinal instead of just recreational use, and he wanted to do a whole incubator. So we're just beginning to see that word coming to our door.
Nice.
As far as where can, you know, because another way that we even started this cannabis program or intention of the cannabis track, I should say, was through workforce development. And that means incubator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
That's awesome. I'm glad that that is starting to come back around. I truthfully had thought that that had kind of fallen off. I had a follow-up sentence there that I'm going to not say because I don't want to get too political on the show. So I think that does speak really well to the certificate, though, because my first semester at FLCC, I think there was three or four other people who were bold enough to say that they were there because they wanted to get into the cannabis industry besides myself. And if I remember correctly, I don't think any of them actually finished and graduated with me. I'm pretty sure most of them fell off in their first semester. Maybe one of them lasted through the second semester. And so I think the idea of having a shorter, more attainable certificate is a wonderful idea because some of those classes really are intimidating, is probably the best word to put about it. A couple of them are really content heavy, but it's like great education. I personally can say that after my time at FLCC, at the place that I landed afterwards, I honestly feel more prepared than most of the people who did their freshman and sophomore year there, if that makes sense. So kudos to that. For anybody who has any question, like, yeah, it can be a little bit tough at times, but this program, this horticulture program at FLCC, even without the cannabis track, is just phenomenal. If you put the effort in that you should put into school, you will learn a lot. That's the best way that I could say that.
And I'll say this right now, from somebody who has been preparing for many years to really get into the industry, from a business perspective, especially from a cultivation perspective, a little birdie told me, and this is based off some information we've gotten from other states that New York is really looking to replicate and take some advice from, is that nothing is set in stone yet because we haven't received the regulations, which we're obviously all anxiously awaiting. But according to some of the information that I've got, it looks like it may be mandatory, especially if you're going to be running or applying for a commercial cultivation license, it is mandatory to have a certified horticulturist on staff. So you could be, you know, and I'd be interested, you know, horticulture obviously is very complex and very diverse and robust. The cannabis plant is a very unique plant. So to what extent could you be, you know, a horticulturist of 20, 30, 40 years? Does traditional horticulture knowledge and education transition into cannabis? It's a very unique plant horticulturally. It's a very unique plant therapeutically. You know, to you, you've probably been seen more plants than anybody than I've probably ever encountered. What is it about cannabis, or if anything, that's different from, you know, all the things that you've encountered from a horticulture perspective?
Oh, I think that there are a number of things, Steve, really, you know, everything from the stress put on a cannabis plant and, you know, make it go female to male type of thing, having a hermaphroditic plant possibility. That's another thing. It's just fascinating. And so, but to get back to the first part of your statement, question, I think that if a person knows how plants grow and how plant systems work, so plant systems, not just photosynthesis and respiration, but the whole, you know, the whole plant hormone system, the whole enzyme system, just at least be aware that they exist, like with an AAS degree. I think that just having that basic knowledge of plant science then really opens the door to understanding how plants are cultivated and why you do certain things. I mean, it's one thing to take a 8-week course on cannabis cultivation, and you do this, and this, and you give it this, and this, and this amount of light and this many nutrients, but it's another to know why you're doing that, right? And then to know how you can alter that plant some with doing different practices, with performing different practices for that plant to grow better or worse, or stressed or unstressed or whatever, you know? And so, I mean, I have also heard that as far as having a horticulturist on staff, and I remember, gosh, 10 years ago or whenever Columbia Care came to Rochester, they were hiring a lot of people in the horticulture industry. I mean, there were people leaving the cooperative extension to go to Columbia Care, but their minimum was a bachelor's degree that they were going to be hiring with. That has since opened up. I mean, we have students that are graduates from here now that are getting interviews at Columbia Care, you know, as processors or whatever. So it's changed a little bit, you know, but I think that having that horticulture background is very important. And of course, I'm going to say that because I'm a horticulturist and have been for a number of years, but I think having the basic understanding of plant science really helps out.
I agree 100%. And I actually have 2 points that I want to address there. One, did you know that Price got a job at Columbia Care?
No.
Awesome, right?
Good for him.
Yeah. So I personally have a friend who has used his horticulture degree to get into the industry, if that's any accolades or accolades, wrong word. If that's any evidence for you guys to believe it. And my second thing there, I think left my brain, but I'm going to reel it in real quick. Nope, not. All right. this is probably a good time for us to kind of cut part one and bring it to an end. I do want to, before we go, we're going to be doing a social media giveaway this month. Look for the post that for exact dates. We haven't exactly decided on a date to give it away, but when I was in Maine at Beanstalk, I got this product called the Bud Belay. And so this is a little starter kit. What you do is you get yourself a plant stake. You get one of the green ones, probably is going to work better, those PVC type things. This will go on it. You raise it up, and then you have these clips. One of the clips holds on here. It has a pulley strap, and the strap will pull on and hold on to one of your branches so they don't get too heavy and break.
That's a great idea.
We're going to be giving away this kit on Instagram. Look for the post on there. It's going to be super simple. It's going to be a follow the page, like the post, tag 3 friends. So when you see it on there, get entered in. And then I found this sweet bingo roller that I'm actually going to put all the names of people who enter in, and as random as it possibly can be is how we're going to draw the winner. So with that, I'd like to tell you to elevate your state of mind, people, and we'll see you on Monday for part 2.
Thanks to our friends here at Rockbox Recording and Production in Rochester, New York. They are a full professional podcast and video studio designed by a radio guy for podcasters. Audio, video, voiceovers, editing, whatever. Mouth off at Rockbox at rockbox.com.
You can follow Cannabis Cum Laude on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Cannabis. Type Cannabis Cum Laude into your search bar and you should be able to find us, but the links will also be posted in the episode notes as well. If you want to help support the show, head on over to Patreon, and that will ensure that we're able to keep the best quality sound and video coming to you on a regular basis. And if you liked what you heard today, please don't forget to rate and review the show.